Good afternoon. Thank you very much for joining us today. Today we're going to be discussing the Aruch HaTzadikim is the basis for our limud right now, and we're discussing gedarim. And gedarim are safeguards and reinforcements and protections. How midos can protect, one midah can protect the other. Emuna is going to lead to bitachon, bitachon is going to lead to simcha. We're going to discuss all that. It's Yud Beis Kislev, Tafshin Pei Gimel, Tuesday, December 6th. 2022. I noticed on a certain form that I got in the mail, it was from a secondary health insurance company, and the terminology was your maximum benefits for the year have been utilized. You've reached the maximum expenditure. And the word that the language uses for insurance is bitachon or bitachon, I believe. And isn't it funny that that's also what we're learning about? And then I said to myself, look at the difference between insurance provided by human beings and insurance, which is bitachon that we get from Hashem, that we trust in Hashem. Maximum benefits utilized or exhausted, that doesn't exist. The Ribbono Shel'Olam doesn't say, you have maxed out. You withdrew your whole account, and therefore there's nothing left for us to reimburse you with. Chas v'shalom, Hashem doesn't do that. It reminds me of a Rashi in Chumash, which is the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Yizayin HaMebeis, talks about the Yud Gimel Midos Sarachamim. We know that when the Bnei Yisrael did the Chedei Egel, everything looked pretty hopeless. And Moshe Rabbeinu used different methods to appease Hashem, Kaviyachol. First he said, Lama Hashem Yechwe At Kaviyamecha? Why should you get angry? It's just a 9.38-ton hunk of gold that they've made here, that they're bowing down to. You're not going to be jealous of that. And we know that Hashem didn't answer at that moment. No response to that one. And then what's the second one? Oh, the second one is Lama Yomer Mitzrayim Lemor. It's going to be Chil Hashem. The Egyptians are going to say that you brought Bnei Israel out to kill them in the Midbar. That's Tasnish that they should die from the Chedei Egel. Again, there wasn't a response. And then, what does it say? Zechor la'avodecha le'Avraham li'Yitzchak li'Yisrael. Zechor la'Avraham li'Yitzchak Yisrael avodecha. Asher nishbat alehem. Remember the avos, the zuchus avos. Oh, and suddenly, that was an answer. Ribbono Shel'Olam gave Moshe Rabbeinu, okay, v'yinochem Hashem al ha'ra'ah, sher diber lasos le'avo. So by the Chedei Egel, there were these three attempts at getting rachamim for Bnei Yisrael. And the Zchus Avos really helped, but there's a slight flaw in that methodology. And what is it? Gemara says that the Zchus Avos is also a bank account that is finite. Zchus Avos Tama, or Tama Zchus Avos, the Gemara that says that it could be used up. Now, what it could be used up, what that means, maybe it's not for everybody, maybe the Tzadikim is still available, but the Zchus Avos is limited. Even that bank account is limited. So the Ribbono Shel'Olam taught Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Kisisa that he should evoke the mercy of Hashem, Hashem's compassion, with what? What method? Yud Gimel Midos Sarachamim. There's one place in the Torah that they're all stated, and Hashem taught them to Moshe in Parshas Kisisa, and he said to him, you use the Zuchus Avos, but it might not always be that the Zuchus Avos, the merit of the forefathers, will be available for you to take out a withdrawal of Zechuyos to use that to help Bnei Israel. And what, again, the meaning of that is that the Bris Avos for sure is still here. I should remember the covenant. What does this have to do with Bitachon? So Rashi quotes and he brings in Parshas Kisisa that you need to know about Hashem's compassion, how much Hashem really cares about and loves all of us. The basis for bitachon is to understand that Hashem is kind and compassionate. And I will read you what the Rashi says. Yatzkiru lefonai rachum v'chanun hi yunenin. When Bnei Israel are going to mention that Hashem is merciful and gracious, they will be answered, and here's the key phrase. Ki rachamai lo chalim. My mercies do not end. This is something, as I was walking to shul this morning, and it was really pitch black outside, and I just looked around at the beautiful, what the Gemara calls kipas hashamayim. It's like the dome of the heavens. You look around, and you see it's like a a dome over the earth. That's the way that it looks. And I was saying, this is infinite. You look up into the Shemaim, you look at Hashem's midos and what he creates, and his incessant compassion, his rachamim, his mercy, his kindness, his benevolence. It's rachamai lo chalim. They never, ever end. We can continue to make withdrawals from this bank account. We can write checks. We can always ask for mercy. And with that in mind, we should have a really warm feeling about bitachon. Yes, I can have bitachon. There's no such thing as the maximum benefits from this year have been used. It's not true. We can continue to go back to Hashem. And tomorrow, thanks so much. And the next day, and the next day. And it's always going to be there. Rachamai, lo chalim. Human beings are finite. Insurance companies, they're not limitless. They have to stop somewhere or they'll go bankrupt. He doesn't go bankrupt. That means he always wants us to talk to him and ask him for rachamim. And with that in mind, we can, again, renew our study of bitachon and hear what the Aruch HaTzaddikim has to say. But I want to just tell you one story that has to do with bitachon. And it's a famous one that many of you might know. We mentioned it on Shabbos. Rabbi Wein, my Rosh Yeshiva, mentioned that one of the leaders of the state of Israel talked about the fact that we're not worried about anything because we have bitachon. And he felt bitachon meant something like that we trust in our resources, our army, our training, which, by the way, is very important. It's ishtadlus, but that's not what we trust in. And the Panovich Rav said, we have bitachon. You probably know this story. Did I miss an edibad yet? Okay. I don't think so, right? So, and if I'm saying the story a little bit inaccurately, so then please correct me. But this is the gist of it. The point is definitely accurate. So the person said to the Panovich Rav, Rav Yosef Kahneman, why do you say bitachon? I say bitachon, and you're saying bitachon. What's this pronunciation? What's it about? What's the difference between us? So the Panovich Rav said to him, I'll tell you the difference. You're saying bitachon. The accent is on the last syllable. And in Hebrew, actually Aramaic, it's called milara, from below. Milara means from below. Below means later on in the word. So the accent is later on. I say bitachon, because that's how we speak in, when we learn it's yeshivish, that's the way we talk, Lashon HaKodesh, bitachon, that's milael. The accent is milael. Milael in Aramaic means from above, meaning it's the first syllable, or closer to the beginning of the word. But I think we understand the deeper meaning, what he was telling. He said to him, your bitachon is milara. It's from below. Milara means from below in the word, in the etymology, but you're trusting in what's here on earth, in human beings, and in resources, and in gashmias. That's milara. That's from below. Mine is milael. It's from above. It's from the Ribono Shel Olam. That's where my bitachon is. It's milael, like the word la'ela. So we both say the word. It's spelled the same, but the emphasis is different, and that changes everything. So if we trust in an insurance company to pay out all our expenses, that's going to be your yearly maximum benefit has been reached. You're maxed out. That can happen with human beings. That's called milara. Down on earth, that's bitachon. That can happen with human beings. With the Ribono Shel Olam, it's bitachon. It's milael. Everything's from above, and therefore there's no limit to it. So there's never an end to asking Hashem for mercy. So the Aruch HaTzaddikim tells us, Mahu gezer habitachon. But what is the sense of bitachon? This is new material. We have not reversed yet. What is the gezer of bitachon? Meaning, what is it? Eze dover maybe sheyiftach ozem elokim. What brings a person to trust in Hashem? If you'll notice, the Aruch HaTzaddikim tells us that the safeguard or the protector for bitachon is what brings us to bitachon. It's one and the same. But it also protects it and preserves it, because we already said that a geder, according to the Malbim, is baal yihyeh lemirmas. It's to stop something from getting trampled and ruined. Something valuable, something priceless, something intangible and beautiful, like bitachon. We need to have a fence around that vineyard, and this is what? Zoi ho'amuna. It's emuna. That means emuna is what is needed to safeguard, protect, and preserve our bitachon. They work in tandem, but the emuna safeguards and insulates it. It's like insulating the walls of a house. you could have a wonderful heating system inside, but without insulation, then the cold just pours in. That's what emunah is. Emunah is the insulation. But the emunah that the Aruch HaTzaddikim is talking about is not the basic rudimentary emunah, like Hashem exists. It's much more specialized in this category, in this discussion. Mitok shemamin babore, from the fact that a person believes in the Creator, shekol hatzlacha, so that all of his success, ba'olam hazeh, in this world, uva olam haba, and also in the next world, hakol hu mimenu, everything is from Hashem. So when we talked about this on Shabbos, it raised a few eyebrows, because somebody said, we have hatzlacha in olam haba? I'm hoping to be, oh, do people wish each other hatzlacha? Hayukri matzliach in the afterlife. I wish you much hatzlacha. What are we doing there that we need hatzlacha for? We'll talk about that soon. But hakol hu mimenu, it's all from Hashem. All of our hatzlacha, all of our success, our prosperity, everything is from Hashem. Ve'ein acher zulasso. And there's none other besides for him. None. When a person reflects on this, no sein libo, he puts his heart li'ahava oso, to love Hashem b'chol levavo, with his entire heart. This phrase needs a lot of interpretation. First of all, it says that there's something called hatzlacha. I said to myself, have I had any hatzlacha in this world? Have we had any hatzlacha? Do we succeed? Do we persevere? Do we thrive in this world? Can anybody say that we haven't had any hatzlacha? Most people would say, we've had a lot of hatzlacha, Baruch Hashem. Of course there are ups and downs, but have we? Of course we've had hatzlacha. How much hatzlacha? Can you quantify it somehow? Do you measure it in pounds? And is it linear? Is it a weight? Is it a volume? Is it a number? What is it? It's intangible. But it sure translates into lots of different types of hatzlacha. But all of it comes from Hashem. That's what it says right here. So if all my hatzlacha is from Hashem, that's going to cause me to feel what toward Hashem? Overpouring, overabundant love toward Hashem. He throws in another mita called Ava now. All the mitas are intertwined, as we know. So Ava, there's a separate parak about Ava. There's a separate part in the Torah Shebiksav and Torah Shalapel. The Ava is Hashem Elokecha. We're supposed to love Hashem. I will not be able to love him if I don't believe that my hatzlacha is from him. That means that rudimentary, elementary, basic line of Shema, which is Avas Hashem, the Avas Hashem Elokecha, I can't do that if I don't believe that all my hatzlacha comes from him. Now, who wouldn't believe that the hatzlacha comes from Hashem? Don't we all do that? No, because there's the pitfall of Kofi Otum Yadi, also the Yisrael Azeh. Sometimes people think it's their own efforts, like we talked about before. And we have to remember, no, my efforts are what's called hishtadlus, and they're required, but they don't accomplish that hatzlacha. The hatzlacha is only from Hashem, the ein acher zulasso. I cannot say it enough times to myself. Any day that's rough or challenging or anything that comes up, stop for a second and say, have I achieved any hatzlacha? Yes, I've achieved hatzlacha. I have hatzlacha. Where is it from? It's from Hashem. Nobody else but Hashem. Even my ishtadlus, the ability to do ishtadlus, comes from Hashem. But what's the hatzlacha in the world to come? What would that mean? Anybody have anything, any ideas about that? The Aruch HaTzaddikim is extremely accurate and precise and meticulous with his terminology. Is hatzlacha in this world and the next world? First of all, what next world are they talking about? Remember, there are two types of worlds that are called the next world. There's the afterlife, after 120 years. And then there's this world in the future. Now, how do I know there's two types? First of all, if you look in Perek Chelek, which in the Gemara Sanhedrin is the 11th Perek, and in the Mishnah it's the 10th Perek. But in the first Mishnah Chelek, when it says, Kol Yisrael Yeshlem Chelek Olam Haba, there's Machlokas Rishonim. What does Olam Haba mean? What does Olam Haba mean? If we know what it means, then we can understand that we have a huge debt of gratitude to Hashem for our Hatzlacha in Olam Haba. So how do I put a finger on this? Okay, let's say it's the afterlife. What hatzlacha do we have after we leave this world? Any ideas about that? Hatzlacha in Olam Haba. And I'm supposed to trust in Hashem. I'm supposed to have emunah. I have to realize it's true that all the hatzlacha I have in Olam Haba is coming from Hashem. That's perfect. There's something called eternity. What was that?
I believe that all the mitzvot and everything positive that you do in this world, you will also get back in the next world, right? So we will
right.
have
all
that
the mitzvot. Mm-hmm.
We will have
mm-hmm.
that bracha. If you're tying it into Emunah and Bitachon, if we're mamin over here in this world, then we will have the reward in the next world. There's no question.
Perfect. So we have the tzchar that that stays for us, awaits for us to Olam Haba. That is hatzlacha. That's definite hatzlacha. That's the most real hatzlacha anybody could ever imagine. That's to enjoy the ziv hashchina, the standing ziv hashchina. They harness with ziv hashchina from the radiance of Hashem. And then it was also mentioned here, there's something called eternity. When we leave this world, we're not here for that long, but we make an indelible imprint. We make an infinite impression by leaving children. Many of us do leave, or children, and or Maisim Tovim that we leave in this world. Those are spiritual. Those are eternal. They're infinite. They're forever. And that is continuing when we are in Olam Haba. So that's Hatzlacha, Olam Haba. We're being Matzliach. This shows us something. We need Hatzlacha. We need Hatzlacha in both worlds. We need help to have that Hatzlacha. So in raising our children and in doing Maisim Tovim, in accomplishing what we need to, learning the amount of Torah we need to learn, either men learn for learning and for knowing, women have to learn for knowing mainly, but all of that, we need help for that. And that causes us to have Hatzlacha in this world and also in the next world. That's if we talk about afterlife. And if it's talking about after Mashiach comes, the other explanation of what Olam Haba is, then also, that's definite, because without getting into the whole discussion about the future time period, but the first time period, Yemos HaMashiach, the first of the three future time periods is Yemos HaMashiach, the second is Olam Haba / Techiyas HaMeitim, the third one is Yemos HaElef HaShvi, the seventh millennium. But in the first one, the popular opinion in the Gemara is the opinion of Shmuel, the Amora, who says, Olam Kimin Hoganoi. He says that the world is similar to this world. He says, Ein Bein Olam Hazeh Yemos HaMashiach, El Shibur Malchios Bilvad, famous statement, there's not that much marked change between this world and the next world when Mashiach comes, except for Shibur Malchios, which means the bondage of the kingdom, meaning we won't be subservient to other nations, we won't be subservient to the Yetzirah that's inside of us. Little by little, we're going to come around, we're going to understand the Ribono Shel Olam, there'll be clarity, there'll be elucidation of the purpose of the universe. But still, it says, Olam Kimin Hag Onoheg. The world will be similar to how it is now. Well, for that, I need Hatzlacha. Of course I need Hatzlacha. So however you slice it, whatever Olam Haba is, I need Hatzlacha in this world and the next world. And if I've had Hatzlacha and I'm having any Hatzlacha, I need to believe it and understand it from Hashem and love Hashem for it. That's the Emunah we're talking about. Umahu Gedor HaEmunah. Oh, now we're moving further. But what is the safeguard, the fence for Emunah? Eizah davar mevi adam lidei Emunah shleima. What brings a person to the hands of perfect faith? And the surprising answer is going to be, we always have a fork in the road. How do we achieve good midah? And we've talked about it multiple times. Is it through studying and learning and internalizing by what we learn and developing cognitive approach? Or is it by our actions? It's what we do that changes us. Which one? So what's the real answer to that question?
Oh.
Right. 100% both. 100% both. We absolutely have to employ both. But the Maseilas Yesharim does say, and we already know the Sefer HaChinuch says it, which one is more accessible to us? Right. It's the action. And I know that you've been here many times. I'm going to just say them again. Ha'adam Nifal. That is the Sefer HaChinuch in Parshas Bo. A person is formed according to his actions. And what about the Maseilas Yesharim? Chitzonios? Ra'orios Panimios. Correct. The outside actions, they arouse what's inside. So the Orchus Tzadikim, now you get to guess. It's a game. Which one does he favor? I told you that the Sefer HaChinuch favors Kefi Pulosav. The Maseilas Yesharim kind of favors also Chitzonios, Ra'orios Panimios. What do you think the Orchus Tzadikim is going to do? Ready? How do you come to Emunah Shleima? Hu shelo yisnoeya midavar ra. is that a person should not be moved. A person shouldn't move is what the word really means. A person shouldn't be changed. A person shouldn't, no impression should be made upon us when something happens that looks like it's bad. I stand my ground. I don't move. My mind doesn't change. My attitude. I don't let my attitude change when anything ever happens to me. Sheyikabel kol haba alav v'simcha. That the person will accept everything that comes his way with joy. Now, which one is that, you think? Which one is that? Is that more cognitive? Is it more mental and emotional? Or is it more action? That's what I'm wondering about. What does it sound like? So it sounds because he's saying, oh, he shouldn't move. He should accept everything that's upon him with joy, correct? The way I understood it was that it could be both. Because when he says, lo yisno e'am, idavara, he's saying that if a person makes up ahead of time, whatever comes my way, you could do it each day, whatever I wake up in the morning, I know that there's no perfect day. There are days that may be close to it, and then there are days that, chas v'shalom, very far from it, but whatever, and then there are ones that are in the middle somewhere. Whatever this day looks like, lo yisno e'am. You know what yisno e'am is? It means a tenua, it's a lesson of movement. Like Kain said, how you say, na vanagar. So it's a lesson of moving. I will not move. You know what that means, I won't move? He explains it. That means that if I am in what people call a good mood, I won't change that. I won't let it change, no matter what happens to me. Because I am in charge. I have ownership of my reactions and my responses and my mood. I can still smile. That's up to me if I'm going to smile. And I can also brighten up other people's days. And I can be contagious in a positive way, no matter what happens to me. See, kabakal all of the simcha. So the way I understand this, see, here's an example of a Rishon. Their words are so profound. My Rosh Hashiva, Rabbi Wein, always said, you look at the Rishonim, like the Meiri, for example. You read it, and you know how to translate the words. Oh, it's beautiful, piece of cake. And he says, and then you look at it again, and you say, what did he just say? I don't even understand what that meant. It's so deeper. It's so much deeper than what I thought. I can translate these words, but what do they really mean? What does it mean, lo yisno e'a? The way I understand it is, the person will not be moved. The person won't sway. The person is firm and steadfast, doesn't change moods because of what happened. Does that sound realistic that we could do that? If something upsetting happens, I don't have to be upset. He explains it in a second phrase, sheyikabel kol haba alav v'simcha. So not to move, I keep emphasizing the word yisno e'a, because that means to move. So it's very possible that a person can be swayed back and forth by his or her circumstances and whatever the person encounters and his interactions. But he says not to do that in order to have bitachon. Sheikabo kalbal of the simcha. So that's what he says. So to me, that, I don't know, it is cognitive, it definitely is, because I have to engage and I have to get my brain moving. I have to get it focused in order to do this, but the truth is that it's very action-oriented also. It is, because sometimes when a person experiences something that's disappointing or upsetting, so what will happen to me? I'll say, oh no, I just lost my enthusiasm for it, whatever. Well, he says that's the opposite of this. We're not supposed to be doing that. I have to work on, this is not like some kind of like fire and brimstone thing. Oh, you can't do that way. This is to help us. It's like, this is the greatest salvation in the world, to say, wait a minute, I have a right to not change my attitude. If I was always all like enthusiastic, I was going to go on a trip, I was going to do that, and then I heard something, I got an email, I got a bill. You know, I happen to get a bill, so I'm like, oh no. That's not how we're supposed to act. Just lo yisno e'am. The person won't move, will not be moved by it. Won't, no, you cannot get me out. Remember the story in the Gemara about Hillel, nobody could get him angry. You can't get him angry. So then you cannot get me depressed. No, you cannot get me pessimistic. That's what the Orthodox Tzaddikim is saying. He says if a person has this policy and activates it, that is the fence for emunah. That is the way that, without this, the person's emunah is going to falter. They won't be able to focus on the fact that Hashem has given them hatzlacha. Because when things happen that don't seem to be hatzlacha, then the person already has doubts and is disappointed and falls apart. If I stay firm as much as I can, we're not robots. We're not machines. Of course, we have emotions. By the way, we have to work through emotions sometimes. We understand that. Yes, sometimes there are things, go back to David, like the second bad. Yeah, he fell apart and he cried with all of his men. But it's not that that's the main point about David. The point is, by Yischazik David Hashem Elokav, overall, he wasn't Misnoeach. because he got himself together. Okay, so there are points, there are things we cannot handle. That's too much for me. So we cry, so we need some private time, we need to work through it. That's human. But then our job is, lo yisno e'ah, to not be moved overall, that I'm not going to change what I'm planning to do. I'm going to continue everything I need to do in life, the best that I can, despite what comes my way. And it says, Yakaba kol bala besimcha. I can smile. There are funny parts to whatever happens to us. I mean, there's so much humor in the things that happen to us also. Sometimes things are so difficult and they're so challenging that it's almost funny that all this can be happening at the same time. It's like, it's worth a laugh because there are gedolim who said, I laugh in the face of sorrow. I've heard that from some tzaddikim, from the, I have to laugh. But I'm not laughing at people. I'm not insulting people. I'm laughing at the fact that this has come my way to stop me from learning, to stop me from being the simple, from stop me from singing Zmiros. How can there be a Shabbos table without Zmiros the simple? Did anything happen that week that was difficult? Is there anything on our minds? Yeah, but we sing them anyway, the simple, it says. Lo yisno e'ah midavar ra. And then he gives us a mashal, and we're going to end today with this mashal. Zed domela eved. This is like a servant, Shemakir Adon, who recognizes his master, Shunadi Barachaman, that he's very kind, generous, and also compassionate. So there's the ase part of it, that the master, the employer, is very generous. That's the active part. And then there's the Rachaman, that he's compassionate. That's the inactive, the passive. He won't do certain things to me. And that servant knows that that master always pays for whoever does what he wants, does his job well. He pays him sochar gadol, whatever he sends people to do, and he does it, he pays them great reward. And because he sometimes gives burdensome tasks, big challenging tasks, who made him tovus gadolo. But he's so kind and generous, and he pays them so generously, benevolently, umagadlam, and raises those servants, umanasam, and he lifts them up, he promotes them. The yu anshe atzasa, they become people who are his counselors. This is what the master does to his servants, whom he gives a hard time, he gives them hard tasks, big projects, multi-module projects to do. The ochlim al shukhano, they eat on his table, become close to that master. He lets them ride in his second chariot, like where the viceroy is going to ride. These are Mishalim, of course. He appoints them over his land. If a servant, if a worker knows that about his boss, if a worker knows, my boss is so kind, and if I show that I'm a good worker, and I'm dedicated, I'm devoted, I'm passionate, I'm enthusiastic, I will be paid in kind. If a worker knows that, in suffix, there's no doubt that this servant who knows and recognizes this about his master, that he will abandon and leave everything else in the world. And what will that servant do? And he will joyfully, gladly do what his master, what his employer wants him to do. The afim ha'avoda kasha olav ma'od, and even if the work is very hard, bezachar hatova, in his remembering the goodness, the reward, the benevolence, hasher tagia elav, that will reach him, biglal ha'avoda hazos, for the sake of this work. We understand what the nimshal obviously is. We're the avdei Hashem. And it says that Hashem gives us goodness. And that's something we have to emphasize as we're ending today. And I've heard it from many great people. We all know this. The people, great people sitting in the room know this. When we say that Hashem is meitiv, that Hashem is kind and generous to us, it's not just, oh yeah, after 120 years. It's the quality of life. The fact that life is meaningful by doing those mitzvot, and it's schar that we get in this world, it's peros, it's fruits, but it's also the mitzvot themselves, the rached achinoam. Hashem has created such a pleasant, beautiful framework for us. When we do Torah mitzvot, that's what life, that's how it has meaning. It's the only way. So the tova that we get from doing mitzvot is in both worlds. And that's similar to the fact that we can have hatzlacha in both worlds. It's olam hazeh and olam haba. So today we saw that we have fences that are for each other. And if we work backwards, we say that emuna definitely is what safeguards bitachon and leads to bitachon. But in order to have emuna, we have to act a certain way. And the way we act is to try to be as consistent, to hold our ground with our positivity. I don't have to give in to negativity. I don't have to give in to pessimism. I'm allowed and I need to remain optimistic and upbeat and joyful, because that's what keeps us with our amuna, which leads to bitachon, and in turn, again, feeds into that simcha. So hopefully that will be an inspiration for us. It inspires me, these words of the Aruch HaTzaddikim. Thank you very, very much for joining us and for helping out. Are there any questions? Okay, thank you so much, and have a wonderful week, everybody.